I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This podcast is a Roifield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Yeah, I know.
In uncertain worlds, there is always music which can be listened to in good company. Welcome to Friday 15th, the show where we speak to friends and interesting people to the backdrop of great tunes and allocate 15 minutes to both. Today we speak to Douglas Smythe about the rise of male grooming, and sorry about the dodgy sound quality. Matador, Spanish for killer or bullfighter, was written by Flavio Cine Carullo, the bass player of Los Fabulosos Cadillacs from Argentina. Douglas, can't a man spend too much time in the bathroom?
That's a good question, Royfield. I don't think so. I don't think we spend enough time in the bathroom as it is, if we're going to compete with her.
But that's the whole thing, isn't it? Being manly, we're supposed to have a certain kind of musk to ourselves, a certain kind of roughness of skin. We don't want to be too effete.
It's true that we do have a certain... we all individually have our own musk, I guess you will say, or just body chemistry. But that's part of what makes, you know, wearing a cologne or aftershave magical, is the intermingling with the chemistry of the cologne and your body chemistry, giving you off, you know, your own unique scent.
But surely we get the cologne to kill our individual kind of musk. It's not really to blend with it. Isn't that what our partners want? They want the authentic smell of you, those pheromones, those hormones, kind of like hanging around.
Well, they'll still be there. They are definitely, again, they intermingle with whatever you're putting on. I think, you know, wearing an aftershave or any scent is just an extension of style or fashion.
Okay, so male grooming now is a multi-million, billion-dollar industry. Yeah. But it's still kind of coming into its own. When can we kind of trace the earliest roots of it back to?
Oh, geez. Egypt. We can go back about 20,000 years, and it was the talk of the town back then. Oh, that entire culture was based on grooming, male and female grooming. But grooming, I mean, that's where it began, if you ask me.
So those Egyptian pharaohs were waxing their beards and things.
They may not have been waxing, but they were definitely trimming them. They were using oils and whatnot, frankincense, myrrh. I mean, they were plucking, shaving their heads, shaving off eyebrows, painting them on. They're fops, the original fops, if you will, or dandies.
We all live incredibly busy lives now. And it's one thing if I'm a pharaoh that I've got, you know, my servants that can be plucking me and trimming me. But we don't have the time for all this, do we? So isn't it just kind of incredibly time consuming, let alone expensive?
I don't think it is. I think it's like anything else that you're just starting to get into. At first, it's going to come off as time consuming, much like, you know, putting on a podcast and whatnot. At first, it seems like a drag. When you're reading up about it, it seems like a drag. It's, how am I going to do this? But once you start doing it, it becomes old hat, like anything else. You just got to make it part of your daily regime, you know?
Now, I know that you are a finely groomed gentleman. You know, how did you fall into this world of not only being finely groomed, but then creating a business out of being hirsute and being a smart bloke?
Well, okay, that obviously, I mean, that starts in high school when you're, you know, the hormones are kicking in and you want to, mm-hmm. you know, attract the opposite sex. So you start looking into stuff, you know, aftershaves. Dracar was really popular when I was coming up in high school. However, I couldn't afford a bottle of that stuff. So I was, you know, rocking the Old Spice, if you will. And yeah, many girls would turn around in different classes and be like, you smell like my dad. And I didn't know if that was a good thing or a bad thing, but I'd say that's where it pretty much began for me. But when it comes to my business, I was I was always interested in mustaches and, you know, beards and whatnot, a little before it became the thing, at least I'd like to think so anyways. And I created a blog called howtogrowmustache.com, which in that I got to interview all types of folks and you know, competitors and the man on the street. And so that really is what piqued my interest in facial hair and facial fur, created a greater facial awareness, if you will. But when it comes to my business, that began as almost a fluke. It was just like a welcomed accident. I was living in Central America. I moved down there. I was living at the end of the rainforest on this beach in a hammock. I lived in a hammock for about 4 years. And while I was down there, pretty much just surfing and studying music, I actually am a musician as well. I was studying pandeiro. I was getting bit every day by these sand fleas. They'd come out around 5 to 6 p.m. and they'd bite the heck out of me. And there was nothing, no salve or anything that I could put on it that would prevent this from itching. So I was tearing myself up all the time. So I created this concoction I called Itch No Mas. It was just for myself, but I had the locals or the villagers knocking on my tent flap, pretty much begging for the stuff. And so I got to thinking, like, if I ever get back to the States, I'm going to sell this. And that's what happened. I moved back to the United States 4 years later, and I was creating and shipping this down to Costa Rica. And it was doing great. After that, I created an emergency traveler's deodorant called Stink No Mas that I could sell as well. And that was, yeah, it was insect repellent / deodorant. So as you sweat, it would heat up the essential oils in it and repel the mosquitoes and whatnot. So that actually sold better than Itch No Mas. And that started me down this road of creating personal care products. After that, I created the mustache wax. Pretty much where it began. It began as an idea in a hammock. It just something I had to do because take care of myself.
You take care of yourself. So how long does your beauty regime last, sir? You know, every morning?
Every morning? Well, see, again, you can do it smart. You can do it the smart way, or you can just create more problems for yourself by doing it the hard way. I do everything, for the most part, in the shower. There's less cleanup involved there right from the get-go. I have a whole shave station, I call it, in the corner of my shower. I have shelves in there with my shaving scuttle on it. Different razors and brushes are on top of my shower stall on the door. So I'm lathering up and shaving right then and there and rinsing off. You know, no muss, no fuss. It takes me probably about 10 minutes. And if water is, you know, if you consider water a waste of water, you just turn it down to a trickle so you can rinse off your razor as you go.
The shower is an interesting place for me because I actually listen to a lot of music and actually podcasts.
in the shower.
Me too.
And I find it a great place, you know, to contemplate.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, why don't you tell us about the piece of music that you've decided to pick for us this week? Tell us all about the New Pornographers.
Ah, yes.
This is the world of theater.
It's a great tune, first of all. Again, I'm a musician myself, so I'm a product of the 70s. So I grew up in the 80s, and I still like that 80s sound. Different music genres are almost like different instruments themselves, where you can do it right or you can do it wrong. And I think these folks, they're from Canada, and they're probably around my age as well, and they've just been putting great albums for the last 15 years almost, I believe. And they're doing something right with this 80s sound. It's a throwback sound, and it's just a great tune all around. I mean, can't say enough good things about it.
Said that you were a musician. Tell us about the music that you produce.
Oh, geez. I grew up, I've been playing drums. It's interesting because I created my first perfume around the age of 8 or 9, around the same time I started playing drums as well.
What 8-year-old is concocting perfume?
Well, it was a chemistry set my mother got me into. To be fair, I was also creating bombs, I believe, too. It wasn't straight up perfume, but my mom still has it to this day. I don't know what that says about the quality of the perfume. But yeah, so I started that and drumming at that time, and I studied different world instruments from all around the world. Not your typical like djembe and congas, but more like panderos, just rare stuff. I even play the saw, the musical saw too. So I'd always get the gig. I was mostly a studio musician, and if I couldn't get the part as the drummer, I'd be like, well, hey, do you need any percussion? And, you know, I'd play like shakare, a pandero, cajon, rarer percussion instruments. So I typically got the gig.
You're obviously a kind of a Renaissance man, aren't you? You not only smell good, look good, but you know you actually search out for new experiences.
Yeah, it's the nature of my tribe, I think. I mean, I just like maybe the ADD. I just like to keep things interesting and just keep my things that keep my attention are always evolving and interesting and new and creative. You know.
Well, talking about evolving. Right, because it's one thing to let's say shave your beard or to trim your beard. It's another thing completely to go downtown and to start trimming your pubic hair, isn't it? It's manscaped.
Oh, manscaped.
So are you a manscaper, sir? Because I've been told that that's the polite thing to do in 2018.
Yeah, I think you're right. And, you know, it depends on the circumstances. It's, you know, it depends on my weekend's looking like, really. I gotta keep it real.
Right, so.
But I should also mention, though, Royfield, that when I speak of shaving and whatnot, I'm using traditional forms of shaving. I'm using a safety razor with double-edged blades as opposed to cartridge razors. I think cartridge razors are the devil and pretty much got us into all this trouble where we're at right now with like this whole beard rage and whatnot. Not that I don't like beards, but I think like but this whole new fashion trend of having a beard, it really comes out of, or it's just a default for people despising shaving or hating shaving. And it's just because we've been using inferior tools for so long. And that's what it all comes down to.
Okay, so why did we regress from, let's say, from what the Victorians did in terms of shaving?
Well, money. This happened in 1970. I think Wilkinson Sword was the first to release the cartridge razor. And then Gillette was already planning on doing that, but finally released theirs in 1971. And that was because they were running out of patents for their double-edged razors, which are a better shaver. It's a better razor. But this is all comes down to patents. And they had patents for the next 15 to 20 years. So they were setting themselves up for that. But it really comes down to money. You only need one blade. Multiple blade cartridges are the worst things for your skin. Before then, we didn't have razor burn or ingrown hairs, bumps and whatnot. Those come with the use of cartridge razors.
So they are the devil.
They are the devil.
So apart from, let's say, shaving.
Yes.
Whether it's downtown, you're shaving, just trimming things up, or whether it's on your face, how is male grooming essentially different from female grooming?
Oh, in a couple ways. I mean, well, in one way, it's actually cheaper. Something we call, in the States anyways, the pink tax. And that's where you'll see women's grooming products, especially shaving products, they actually charge them more than they do men. And they may very well be the same exact product, just in different packaging. So women are charged more for that. I don't know. I think it's done in the same spirit, if you will, for those of us that are into it. Because when we really get into it, we take up just as much counter space as they do in the bathroom. I can attest to that.
I think you're talking about yourself there.
I might be projecting. Yes, that's true.
All right. So I am I'm a regular bloke. Mm-hmm. And of course, I have my cologne of choice. And I have sufficient testosterone that I need to shave.
Right.
Okay. Right. What else should I be doing? What other bits of kit should I probably be using as a properly groomed man of 2018?
Well, you know, again, people tend to overcomplicate this stuff. I see a lot of stuff on the market that we didn't have 20 years ago. In 20 years, we were doing just fine, especially when it comes to beard and beard oils and stuff like that. You see a lot of this new stuff popping up. You don't need it. I think it's really just about keeping yourself clean. I mean, when it comes to your face, when I got out of the gym, I notice a lot of guys just, you know, throw on their clothes and take off without a shower, without even rinsing off their face. And I think that's a big no-no. You know, if you don't clean your face after working out or running or whatnot, you get all the sweat up there that will dry off. But all the salt still remain on top of your skin, which are going to age your skin faster and dry you out. So I think it's important
But aren't we giving our pores a good workout, though?
Well, we are, and that's why I got to return to traditional shaving for that. When you use a shaving brush as opposed to goo in a can, as I like to call it, you're exfoliating right there. You're gently exfoliating everything. So, I mean, like, right there is a good workout for your skin. People tend to over exfoliate in this culture nowadays. You'll see all these new gels and jellies and lotions that are exfoliating, and you can actually upset your skin and throw it out of balance if you exfoliate too much. So I think we're already overdoing that. You know what I mean?
Right. So we shouldn't over exfoliate.
No, that's something they're selling you that is, it's the wrong road to go down. Back in the day, they didn't sell men exfoliating products. They sold it to women. Now they're selling it to men. And I just see this happening all the time when people are over exfoliating and you're throwing your skin out of balance, out of whack, big time.
After we've had a real good shave, put on our cologne and maybe done a little bit of manscaping, should we then be nipping down to see our barber?
Yeah, I mean, you can go to the barber. Some of the best shaves I've ever had in my life came from my barber through a straight razor. A good straight razor shave, and you don't have to shave for the next 2 days. We call it face-turbation, where you're just constantly feeling your face afterwards. You're like, oh my God, that's so baby butt smooth. Ah, yeah. All day you're feeling your face up. Yeah, I mean, you can go to the barber, but you can get just as good a shave yourself by learning traditional shaving methods with a safety razor or a straight razor.
Well, you know, I was more really thinking about just having a haircut.
Oh, yeah.
Whether you've got any, you know, real hair or not. And I'm kind of one of these gentlemen that doesn't really have hair anymore. There's something about going to the barber,
oh, I love the barber,
having that male experience, yeah, where, you know, you just sit down in the chair for 15, 20 minutes and, you know, you talk about life, love, and the universe, no, put it to rights, and then hop out of that chair.
You're exactly right. I didn't know that's what you were talking about. Barber culture. It's really coming back full on. Barbers today are what tattoo artists were of the 90s, if you ask me. A lot of younger guys are really getting into barbering, and they kind of look like the tattoo artists still. They're all covered in tats now, and they look like they're rockabilly, but they give a mean cut, and they're bringing that culture back. They're actually serving drinks. It's like almost lounge. You can hang out in all day long and shoot the breeze with, you know, other guys. And then there's the scent, that classic barbershop scent. That's like addictive to us. I mean, you remember going in there with your dad when you were younger. It's that smell of like Clubman Pignard, leather, tonics, pomades. It's all intermingled in the air there. It's just, yeah, there's something magical about barbershops. I agree with you 100%.
If we're all getting into male grooming, is it a way of kind of like fast forwarding into the future by taking the best elements of the past? Is that really what this is all about? Because it's interesting that, you know, you are completely right. There's the evocative smell of the colognes and of leather and of just, dare I say, manliness.
Yeah. No, there really is. And it's about giving guys permission now to be able to talk about this stuff that we never really could talk about before. Now it's like, and this conversation maybe begins here or in the forums or even at the barbershop. Do you know what I'm saying? But yeah, we are taking the best of the past and moving forward with it. Because back then, they just called it shaving and it was something they had to do. But now with 2020 hindsight, we can look back and go, oh, and just grab the best of each of it, you know, and combine it in our own everyday daily maintenance, if you will.
Douglas Smythe, why don't you tell us about the great brand that you've created?
Sure. I own phoenixshaving.com for those of you interested in, you know, trying something new and maybe reinventing your shape or just taking your face back when it comes to your daily shave. I also do a show called I'd Lather Be Shaving. It comes out every Friday morning. It's a morning shave show. I know it sounds funny, but it's actually quite entertaining. And we, you know, we touch upon the history, collecting vintage razors, and we go on some field trips too, and just a look behind the scenes.
So Douglas, is there such a thing as shaving news?
Shaving, I'm sorry, what was that? News?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I mean, yeah.
How can you do a weekly show on shaving?
Oh my God. Again, this goes back to the ancient Egyptians. I've got enough material to cover the next 20,000 years. No, there's just, it's utterly fascinating once you get into it. I know it just sounds so abstract and almost silly when I hear myself saying this out loud. My mother was a stylist growing up. So, you know, I got to see all this stuff firsthand. And I was even captivated by the processes then. But like going back and digging through history, it's just, it's like almost archaeological to a certain extent. I've always been into collecting stuff, antiques, stamps, coins, comics, so on and so forth. It wasn't much of a leap into the vintage shaving world, the vintage razors and whatnot. They look as great as they did when they came off the assembly line and outperform the stuff that's out there nowadays. They'll last lifetimes. You can pass these things down. So, I mean, really, it's fascinating, believe it or not.
Douglas Smythe, thank you for coming on to Friday 15 and explaining that manscaping, male grooming, is not just for the vain, but also for the glamorous. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you so much, Royfield. Ciao.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Got ready for the night. She's heading for the light. But she sees the vision going. Cut the line after line. See how she looks in trouble. See how she dances and she sips the Coca-Cola. She can't tell the differences. That's what you're coming for, but they don't wanna let you in it. You drop your back to the floor and you're asking what's happening. And it's getting late now, hey now, enough of the arguments. But she sips the Coca-Cola, she can't tell the difference yet. 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 That's what you're coming for, but they don't wanna let you in. You drop your back to the floor and you're asking what's happening. It's getting late now, hey now, enough of the arguments. She sips a Coca-Cola, she can't tell the difference yet. That's what you're coming for, but they don't wanna let you in. You drop your back to the floor and you're asking what's happening. It's getting late now, hey now, enough of the arguments. She sips a Coca-Cola, she can't tell the difference yet.
Cola was produced by Camel Flat and Elderbrook and was released in 2017. It features vocals from Alexander Elderbrook, who was also the co-writer on the track. Reaching number one on the Billboard Dance Club Songs chart in November, it gave the collaboration its first ever American chart topper. Nothing But a G Thang is a duet by American rapper Dr. Dre and Snoop Doggy Dogg. It's from Dre's solo album The Chronic in 1992.
1, 2, 3 into the four. Snoop Doggy Dogg and Dr. Dre is at the door, ready to make an entrance, so back on up, cause you know we're about to rip shit up. Give me the microphone first so I can bust like a bubble. Compton and Long Beach together, now you know you in trouble. Ain't nothing but a G thing, baby. Two low death niggas, so we're crazy. Death Row is the label that pays me. Unfadable, so please don't try to fake this. But back to the lecture at hand. Perfection is perfected, so I'ma let them understand from a young G's perspective. And before me dig on a bitch, I have to find a contraceptive. You never know, she could be earning her man and learning her man, and at the same time burning her man. Now you know I ain't with that shit, Lieutenant. Ain't no pussy good enough to get burned while I'm offended. And that's realer than real deal, holy feel. And now you hookers and hoes know how I feel. Well, if it's good enough to get broke off a proper chunk, I take a small piece of some of that funky stuff. It's like this and like that and like this, Anna. It's like that and like this and like that, Anna. It's like this and like that and like this, Anna. Drake creep to the mic like a fan.
Well, I'm peeping and I'm creeping and I'm creeping, but I damn near got caught, cause my beeper kept beeping. Now it's time for me to make my impression felt. So sit back, relax, and strap on your seatbelt. You've never been on a ride like this before. With a producer who can rap and control the maestro. At the same time with the dope rhyme that I kick. You know and I know I flow some old funky shit. To add to my collection, the selection symbolizes dope. Take a tote but don't choke. If you do, you have no clue of what me and my homie Snoop Dogg came to do.
It's like this and like that, like this and it's like that, like this and like that and it's like this.
And who gives a fuck about those?
So just chill to the next episode. On that ass, what a hell of a gangster lean. Getting funky on the mic like an old batch of collard greens.
Hope you enjoyed this week's show. Don't forget, you can follow the show progress on Facebook by simply typing Friday 15. You can also find us on Twitter, where you can follow me, where I'm at Royfield, spelled R-O-I-F-I-E-L-D. Now, every Thursday, you can jump onto Twitter and tweet me and nominate a song for me to put into this week's Friday 15. iTunes reviews, folks, are extremely important. They're the lifeblood of any podcast. Please go onto iTunes and write us a glowing review. And don't forget, finally, you can email me, well, Royfield, spelled R-O-I-F-I-E-L-D, @gmail.com. See you all again in 7 days' time for more good music and great conversation.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.